Sometimes on Radio Entrepreneurs, we don't just get to talk to entrepreneurs, but we get to talk to thought leaders who work with entrepreneurs. And this person covers both sides of the spectrum. We're going to be talking with Larry Stibel of Stibel Peabody & Associates. And today, Larry, we're going to talk about calm leadership, correct?
Calm and assertive leadership.
Right. Calm and assertive leadership. Well, why don't you define it first, and then we'll talk about it.
Well, let me give you a little background about how this came to be. My wife likes to watch The Dog Whisperers, which stars Cesar Millan, and he's got this way with dogs. And I just hated the show, but I just started watching it. And one of the things I noticed was that Cesar Millan is talking about dogs, but he's really working with dog owners. And he has a theory that dogs are pack animals, and they're attracted to calm, assertive leaders. And a lot of what the show is about is Cesar Millan working with the owners on how to become calm, assertive leaders. And he says, if you're calm but not assertive, the dog's going to take over control because there's a power vacuum. Dog's going to take over.
Right.
There's no leader of the pack. And I've seen that in business, and so have you, Jeff.
Absolutely.
On the other hand, if you are assertive without being calm, you're just making the dog nervous.
Right.
And I've seen that in business, too.
Right. I've seen it with dogs also.
Yeah. So the idea was be calm and assertive. Calm and assertive. So I started. Then the second thing that came was some research that's been done at Harvard University on how do you manipulate levels of what's the male testosterone?
Yes.
And cortisol. Turns out the body's a complex organism, as we know, and not only does the brain decide to secrete testosterone because of internal issues, but you can also manipulate the secretion of testosterone externally. So the psychologist at Harvard University had people engage in power poses. Here's an example of a power pose that you've seen. You watch Sunday football. Somebody does a touchdown. They throw the football down, and they raise their arms over their heads. They tilt their heads back, and they smile. You've ever seen that?
Many times. I like football.
So it also turns out that if you take congenitally blind children, put them in the Special Olympics, that when the runners cross the line and they can feel the tape, that they broke the tape, what do? They raise their arms over their heads, they tilt their heads back, and they smile.
I do it from my couch when
right.
The football player gets the touchdown.
And what she did was she had people spit into a tube, and they measured levels of cortisol and testosterone. Now, testosterone is the male hormone that increases aggressiveness, and even females have testosterone. And then cortisol is the fight or flight hormone, that when you have low levels, you're calm. When you have high levels of cortisol, you're ready to either fight or flee. You probably have noticed it when the backs of your hairs on your arms stand, your pupils dilate, you're right. Intensely focused. That's cortisol in your blood.
Right.
And so she had people spit, and then she had them go through power exercises. 2 minutes of raising your arms, tilting your head back, and then spit again, and found high levels of testosterone, low levels of cortisol, just by manipulating the positions of the body. Let me give you an example of how this works in my business. I do sales. So like any good sales guy, I will arrive to a client 15, 20 minutes before the meeting. I'll sit in my car in the parking lot. What do? I'll take out my iPhone and I'll start looking at my emails. What does it do for me? I'm in my car, I'm scrunched up, I'm looking at my emails, my arms are by my sides. According to the research, what I'm doing is I'm reducing my level of testosterone, I'm increasing my level of cortisol, just by the body position that I'm doing. So I said, wait a second. if this research is correct, I'm doing the wrong thing. So I put away the iPhone, went in the office. I said to the president, can I use your bathroom? So the secretary says, sure, down the hall. I go into the bathroom. I'm standing in front of the mirror with my arms over my head, my head tilted back, smiling at me, smiling at myself in the mirror. Thank God nobody walked in. Walked back into the president's office. President asked me what my fee was. I raised my fee by 15%, and instead of selling one assignment, I got two assignments. That's just by doing some power
posting.
It's
like visualization.
It's like visualization.
Right.
So the second thing that we're doing is...
I like to visualize that I'm tall, good-looking.
I do too.
Yeah, well, you are tall. And kind of good-looking.
I am tall. I'm tall, yeah.
One for two isn't bad.
Yeah, one for two. So that's one of the things we do. We work on how do you position your body before an important meeting so that you will be both calm and assertive. The second thing that we're doing is how do people talk?
Sounds like a little bit of biofeedback too.
It is biofeedback, sure. The second is the words and the conversations that are used. For example, here's an example of a statement that is assertive but is not calm. Jeff, I've got a business. I'm looking for a loan. If you invest in my business, it's a guaranteed certainty this is going to work.
I'm intrigued. I've only heard that 10,000 times before.
Right. And does that actually create calmness in the other person or anxiety? I think it creates anxiety.
Anxiety.
Yeah, because you...
Here's another schnook trying to take my money.
Exactly. On the other hand, So that's assertive without being calm.
Right.
Here's a statement that is calm without being assertive. Jeffrey, I really would like you to invest in my company. I think it would be a fabulous investment. And I promise, if you give me the money, I'll do the best job I can. You're being calm, but you're not being very assertive.
Well, what about the use of humor? You know, I use that a lot. I try to get people to giggle, and you're a good giggler.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume that also helps people to calm down at some level.
It helps the other person
to
calm.
The other person.
That's important for me. It's a good technique to get the other person calmed down and receptive to you. What I'm talking about is how do you position yourself so that you are perceived as both calm and assertive.
But doesn't that work both ways? If you start laughing and the other person starts laughing, I think it helps both sides.
It will deal with your humor works because your humor is...
Childish.
It is both calm and assertive.
It is both calm and assertive. But, you know, just to support what you're
saying. I mean,
there's
always a point. There's always a point. There's always an edge in your humor. You're not being funny to poke fun at somebody else or to be sarcastic or to be cutting. There's a point to your humor.
Well, you know, when I worked at J&J, just to support what you're saying, this was a long time ago. It was the late 1970s. I worked for a division. They told me I was too assertive. And they showed me on videotape that my leg was always twitching and I was almost like coming out of the chair. And they taught me to put my hands on my legs, because if you put your hands on your legs, you can't twitch and you can't sit leaning forward. You have to sit backward. And so they taught me how to look calm in front of the client.
Sure.
And they taught me exercises. And you know what? I was calmer in front of the client. And I did project more calmness. And I had to learn how to do that because I had so much energy. And I needed to learn how to control that energy.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing.
When I'm thinking, you know, with you, and this is a long topic, I think about leaders who, first of all, my question would be, how do you identify leaders who want to learn how to be calm? And I think a lot of leaders need to learn how to be calm and project calmness. And my second question really is, a lot of people, I think it's very primal, have triggers that go back to their childhood that trigger them. And I'm wondering and that's even a deeper question, how do you learn to control those triggers?
The second question is tougher than the first question.
I know. Let's start with the first one.
Well, first of all, you need a certain level of self-awareness to know what the triggers are. And once you understand what those triggers are, then you can be aware when it's being thrown. I'm just trying to think of... one of the triggers for me is when anybody says, you must. Look, I'm an entrepreneur. There's certain words that just really get me going. And when if somebody says, you must, I'm going to say, the hell I must. It's almost reflective. On the other hand, if somebody says, you might want to consider doing...
Well, they let you be in control of your own life.
Right. All you have to do is change the phrasing
right.
from you must to you might want to consider.
I told my wife when I met her, I said, don't order me to do anything or I won't do it. If you ask me or tell me you really need my help, I'll probably always do it. It's not going to be what you say. It's going to be how you say it. Sometimes she orders me and she goes, oh, you're not going to do it, right? I went, right. Because I feel like I have no control. She takes me out of control and she orders me. I don't want to do family therapy here.
Yeah.
But it's, again, it's the dynamic that you're sort of explaining. I understand that. I don't like to be ordered. I tell clients, don't order me around. I'm not someone to order me around. But if you ask me to do something, I'm very likely to do it.
Let me give you a vignette from my consulting experience. I worked with the former mayor of the city of Boston. His name is Kevin White. He was a legend right. in his time. But he was a very proud man. And you do not order the mayor of the city of Boston around.
Not Kevin White.
Not Kevin White.
Not Menino either.
And but Kevin White would have a tendency to go on to sidetracks. And the reporters knew that he did that. And so they would ask him sidetrack questions. And then all of a sudden he'd find himself out on a limb. And he didn't know how he got there. And he couldn't gracefully get back to the key point. He had somebody that he totally trusted. And she would always be in the front row at a press conference. And whenever the mayor started going on a sidetrack and going off point, she would have this little gesture. She would be pretending she's scratching her throat and is actually using an Italian gesture that's obscene.
Right.
You know, she'd be,
it's like the finger thing.
Like that. But right. everybody would think she's just scratching her throat. But that was a signal between her and the mayor to shut up. Now, she could never say that to the mayor mm-hmm. because the mayor, that would be a trigger
she
for him.
She scratched down, not up.
Right. No, she would scratch her throat. Yes. Up
is the... So, is the
that's it. That's it.
Yeah, right. I know what
right.
it is.
So... I found the same thing with me. There are times when I get comfortable, I can be very boorish and loud and obnoxious, and it bothers my wife.
But your friends like it.
Yeah, but it bothers my wife. However, if my wife says to me in a public setting, "Stop it, Larry," I will feel humiliated, and so we get into this negative cycle. So my wife and I had cooked up this phrase. And my father's name was Leo, and the thing that bothered her was when I would be acting like my father.
Like Leo.
Yeah. So she would say, "By the way, is Leo coming for dinner tomorrow?" And that would be her signal to me in public, shut up.
Is your wife going for the same husband training course that my wife went on?
But look, it works in business too. If there's
my wife usually when she says to me, cut it out, at a party and tries to order me publicly, yeah. right? Usually me. And then she looks at me, she goes, oh, I shouldn't have said it that way. That means he's really going to do it now.
Right.
She's got to say it right.
Yeah. One of the things that I recommend to my clients is if there's certain triggers where, and there are certain times when they could be offensive without meaning to, or they get too comfortable, work with somebody that you trust who is on your team. With a signal, and whatever the signal is. It could be a nonverbal signal, or it could be a verbal signal. And basically, use the other person to help you pull back from where you are.
All very interesting, but I get the net effect is, what you're saying is that leaders, more effective leaders, like the dog training, are better leaders. And leaders need to learn how to utilize calmness to be a better leader. And you can utilize it and you can learn calmness, correct?
Calmness and assertiveness.
Most
entrepreneurs have the assertive part down. but they don't have the calm down. And then some people have the calm down, but they don't have the assertive down. How do you do both? And how do you see calm and assertive as not necessarily antagonistic to each other? You can do both.
Right.
And the issue is behavioral.
Well, it gets back to leaders having to be able to lead and manage people mm-hmm. and to develop their full skill set. And that's a very key ingredient in the skill set of a good leader, correct?
Exactly.
All very interesting and exciting. You know, I love the topic. I wish you'd come on more often. You know, you have an open invitation to the show.
Thank you.
Discussions with you were fun, and they're never long enough. I never get into them at the level I want to. I would assume other people would like to talk to you about these topics because they're important for leaders and entrepreneurs. And if they did, how would they contact you?
Best way is to go to my website, stibelpeabody.com, S-T-Y-B-E-L, stibelpeabody.com.
.com, like C-O-M, not C-A-L-M.
Exactly. Exactly.
And if they contact you at .com, you'll be assertive and get back to them.
Exactly, I will.
That's great. My name is Jeffrey Davis. We've been talking to Larry Stibel of Stibel, Peabody & Associates, a pleasure, an intellectual, and a serial entrepreneur himself. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.